Hi, I'm Allison Jacobson, and I am alcoholic. And thanks for having me here tonight. I will tell you that a wave of terror just kind of started coursing through my veins. I have never, you know, I've gone through traditions and relationships one-on-one with gals I sponsor, that kind of thing, but I've never done it in front of a group of people. And I was supposed to come over Labor Day and do it, and I got struck with, like, the 24-hour typhoon flu or whatever I want to... It just was awful. And anyway, the night before that happened, I was telling my sponsor that I was coming out here and doing a talk on the traditions and relationships, and she started laughing. And she said, "Really?" And she said, "I'd like to hear that when you've done it." I said, "Okay." But then actually she was really nice. She said, "You know what?" And she, we were talking because 8 years ago, I mean, people who know me very well know this side of my story, but how I got into the practicing the traditions in my relationships, and now actually, I'll give you a footnote. I try to apply these traditions to all of my relationships, not just my marriage. But I started looking at them because my marriage was going very, very south about 8 years ago. And like most people, or, well, most alcoholics, I didn't think it was my fault at all. And as a matter of fact, I could have given you 50 reasons why it was my husband's fault and not my fault. I was absolutely unwilling to look in the mirror. And my old sponsor, Linda, I was having a conversation with her, and I remember exactly where I was in my house when we were having this conversation. And I was crying. And, you know, at that point, I used to call her up every night crying. I mean, just bawling. And I don't know how she stood it, really, but she did. And one night, I was saying to her, I said, you know, maybe I just picked the wrong person, and, you know, very dramatic. And really what she said in response to that stunned me, but it also changed my life. What she said is, "I don't think you picked the wrong person at all. I don't think you are the right person." And I was like, okay. And, you know, I was a little angry at her for about a week. But I asked her, I said, "Well, what, you know, what do you mean by that?" I mean, I was really shocked that she said that. And she said, "You know what, Allison?" And she said, "When we get into anybody in this room who is married or in a romantic relationship, you're all going to, you know, or if, even if you've, you know, been in a romantic relationship, you understand this. It's, I always think, oh, you know, this is the kind of person I want. I never, ever thought about it in terms of this is the kind of partner I want to be. I always projected that on you. This is what I need to make me happy." And so, you know, I was going about my marriage all wrong. It wasn't, rather than looking in the mirror, I was looking in somebody else's mirror saying, you know, "You failed me in this way," when I wasn't willing to look at what I was bringing to the table. So that's how I got into this. And it really, I can't say that just practicing this in my marriage saved my marriage. A whole bunch of other things took place, too, that helped solidify the marriage that we have today. But what I will say is, if we didn't practice this way of life, we'd have no marriage. I do know that for sure. The first one is our common welfare should come first. A healthy relationship depends upon unity. And like I said earlier, you know, I used to look at what kind of person do I want? You know, what do you need to be in order to make Allison happy? And I never thought of unity in a relationship at all. And now when I look today, like in my relationships with ladies I sponsor, with my home group members, with people I work with our son, there has to be a spirit of unity. And I think with unity comes some self-sacrifice. And, you know, our big book says we're selfish and self-centered by nature. And what I took that to, what I understand with regard to that about me today, is not only do I think that the world and all its people revolve around me, I think you ought to believe that too. And that's how I come into my relationships, you know, and that's not a really good way to come into it. You know, I was thinking as I was driving out here, my husband and I have a 2-year-old son. And, you know, pretty much the first 2 years of a child's life, you are waiting on them hand and foot. They can't do anything for themselves. They can't walk. They can't talk. They can't, you know, they cry and you run. And then pretty much when they hit 2 or maybe a little bit before, give or take some, you start having to teach them that there's other people in the world and that they need to do some stuff for themselves and that every time, you know, a tear falls from the face, you know, mom and dad aren't going to go, you know, come flying. And my son's reaction to this has been interesting. You know, and Al and I were saying the other night to each other, we thought, God, I wonder if this is what we looked like to other people when we were newly sober. Because our son will smack hit with me in my hair. He likes to go whoom when he doesn't get his way. Now, Al doesn't have any hair, so Al gets the smacking and the hitting. And you know, he does it because he's not getting his way. And he, you know, and so selfishness and self-centeredness is a really hard habit to break. And I fall into it at times today, you know, if I'm not on my game or if I'm not treating my spiritual condition or just because, you know, there doesn't even need to be a reason why sometimes I just fall into it. And so what I found is that any relationship I'm in, even with my God, there has to be a unity. There has to be give and take. There has to be nobody's in charge of me. I'm not in charge of you. There's got to be some equal footing there. And if I don't approach it from that, there's going to be discord really, really early on. What I used to be like in my marriage, I was very, very dependent on my husband. And it was easier for me to let him make all the decisions in our relationship because that, I thought, took all the responsibility off of me. And then the bad thing about that was when he made decisions I didn't like, you know, a big blowout would occur. And so I wasn't, you know, I wasn't participating in that relationship other than to just say, here, please do everything and let me just sit on the couch and watch and see if I like what you do. And that, you know, if you're going to do that in any relationship, there's going to be conflict very quickly. At least that's what I realized. And there's a checklist for tradition one. I'm going to go through all these checklists through all the traditions. What am I willing to sacrifice for my relationship? I like this. What effect do my actions have on my relationship, on our family? Am I a giver or am I a taker? Depends what day it is, I think, sometimes. Do I unify things or am I quick to criticize, slow to praise? Do I use silence as a refuge or punishment while expecting my mate to read my mind? That's a big one, actually, in the Jacobson household. Not my husband, but me. Do I listen when my mate has something to say? Do I admire and approve of my mate? Does he or she know that? Am I a healing, mending, integrating force in my marriage, or am I divisive? Am I a peacemaker, or because of my own insecurity, is it critical to my ego that I be right? I fall short of that in many. I'll go through a little thing that happened to me just before driving out here. Can I be flexible? Flexibility is taught by nature. You will see the trees bend in the wind, I believe is what it says. So I wish I could say that I, you know, met the mark on each one of those checklist items. But, you know, sometimes I can be divisive, and I definitely can see where I still have a need to be right. It's funny, you know, my husband was at this little, Billy and Sam went to the same thing in Roanoke this weekend, and so I had our son Friday night and all day yesterday, and which was fine. I love spending time with him, and I happen to be a little tired, though, Friday night. So what happens, I talk to myself, and that's the first mistake. I shouldn't talk to myself at all. And I started thinking, you know, I wish I could just pack up and go for the weekend. And, you know, I wonder what Al's reaction would be if I said, well, honey, I'll be home on Sunday or I'll be home late Saturday night. He'd hit the, you know, he'd have a cow. All this stuff. And so I'm building it up in my mind to when I went to bed Friday night. I hadn't even talked to Al, mind you, but I'm mad at him. And I'm going to bed mad. He's not even home to know, you know. And I spent yesterday with my son, and I was thinking what a great mom I am, and blah, 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 blah. And so then he gets home, and I'm a little cold to him, you know, because he's been at AA all weekend, and I've been doing the hard work and all that stuff. And so anyway, I assumed that I would have our son this morning until I left, you know, to come here. Well, I get up this morning, and Al's like, you know, you've been with him all weekend, and I really want to give you a break. I'm going to bring him with me all day. I'm shocked. Well, you know what I did? I got mad, because then all of a sudden I didn't have time with my son, and now he's taking away my time with my son, and I'm going to be gone tonight, and I can't put him to bed. So really, with me, you can't win, is what I'm trying to say. And that's so divisive. And I, you know, I started a fight with him before I left to come here, and I found myself having to call him on the cell phone. I thought, oh my God, I'm going to talk about traditions and relationships, and I just started a big thing with my husband. You know, I can't even get up in front of anybody right now. I'm going to feel like a fraud. And what I found myself saying is, you know what, I'm just crazy sometimes, and what I did was wrong, and I'm you know, for lack of a better word, I'm really sorry. And you know, he just laughed, and he said, it's okay, I'm used to it with you, which is funny, but it's not so funny sometimes. And so I've really got to go through that mental checklist. Am I unifying or am I divisive? Do I give more than I take, or do I take more than I give? And, you know, it is give and take sometimes, but I used to never give, and I used to never see a reason to give. So I am happy that the God of my understanding in AA has allowed me to change that. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Each of us is God's trusted servant, neither governs. And that's pretty self-explanatory. Al and I aren't the boss of, neither one of us is the boss of our marriage. Hopefully, by now, we both have a relationship with God of our understanding. We do have an agreement in our house that for certain things, like, well, I'll get to it more in the seventh tradition, but there's certain things that if a decision about something is going to be made, we have to talk about it first. And so we have sort of, we've just got guidelines that we go by that make life easier for us and make our relationship run smoother. The first 8 years of my marriage, I really actually wanted somebody to be the boss, and I didn't want it to be me. But, you know, it's like I said in the first tradition, when one person is calling all the shots, even if you think that's a great idea in the beginning, there's going to be conflict later. And, you know, where Al and I ran into it is I wanted him to be the boss in our relationship, and where he started calling shots that I didn't like was with, like, finances. And all of a sudden, I didn't like that at all. And so it just all blew up in both of our faces. So we find that if both of us are grounded in AA, we both have a relationship with God of our understanding. We have a relationship with our sponsors that we use. We try to just treat each other as equals. And, you know, if we have to have a quote-unquote group conscience about something, then we do. Where I found lately that we have to really do a lot of discussing is with our son. When I was pregnant with our son, we discussed before he came out of the chute how we wanted to raise him. We decided that it was probably a good idea to be on the same page about that before Jake entered the world rather than, you know, trial by fire. And I'm really happy that we had a lot of those discussions, because when things come up now, we are on the same page, and we don't have to fight and hem and haw and ignore each other for weeks at a time. We both know what direction we want to take as far as parenting our son goes. Okay, and there's a checklist for tradition, too. I wish I brought my glasses up here, but so just bear with me. Do I insist on being the leader? Do I feel that it is my place to govern? Do we strive for equity? Do I try to speak for my mate without consulting him or her? Do I criticize my mate, or do I trust him or her? Am I absolutely trustworthy? Now this, little, I like this prayer. It says, try this little prayer. God, treat me tomorrow the way I treat my mate today. Now, let's hope that doesn't come true for me tomorrow. Or, there's another prayer. God, help me to not do anything today that I cannot tell my mate about tonight. And, you know, I pulled that one out. I was a big thief. I was very sneaky, very conniving with money. And sometimes I find myself, you know, wanting to make an extravagant purchase and maybe not let my husband know about it. But, you know, how do you hide an extravagant purchase? I used to spend a lot of time and energy on planning this out. I bought a carpet cleaner today at Target. I'm so happy. The box is in my back seat for all to see, because my husband and I talked about it, as, you know, before I left to come here. He knew I was buying it. And I used to do stuff behind his back so much. Because I was afraid of, if he didn't agree with what I wanted, I wouldn't get my way. And so I pull out this prayer a lot. God, help me to not do anything today that I can't tell my mate about tonight. I like that a lot. Is my ego so strong that I must have credit for more than I do? Yes. Am I so insecure that I must always have praise for my actions and ideas? A lot of the time. Do I do my share? And is that my opinion or my partner's? You know, you ask me, I will tell you everything I do in my house. If you had called me Friday, you would have heard, whether you wanted to or not, everything I do for our son. But the reality is that my husband does just as much. He really does. But when I'm in a little self-centered funk, he doesn't do anything. And what little he does do, he does wrong. So I like that. Is that my opinion or my partner's? Does the thought of God being in charge of our relationship cause me any discomfort, or do I like that and rely on that idea? You know, there's a lot of people, it's in their personality to be in control. They get really freaky if they don't think they're going to have their claws in a situation. I can be that way sometimes. We've got a gal who watches our son when we're at work, and I don't know how she didn't quit during the first year of working for us, because, I mean, I called her one time, I counted 12 times to make sure that every little thing with my son that I had set up was done and done properly. I wouldn't have wanted to work for me during then. And finally, you know, I was talking to my sponsor about it, and she's like, at what point are you going to, you know, just kind of let go and let people do what they're going to do, and let God, you know that God's in charge. Why aren't you acting that way? And I thought, So that's why I told you I apply this to all my relationships today. All right, number three. I've got to go through all 12. So the basic requirement for a good relationship is a mutual desire to make it work. You know, on the surface, that sounds very straightforward, but when I was drinking, I got into relationships for any reason but a desire to be there. I picked people that I thought could take care of me financially, emotionally. I probably wasn't thinking much along spiritual lines at that point, but definitely I was looking for almost like a parent to take care of me, you know? And you start a relationship sort of on such a spiritually sick level, it's not like it's going to flourish and bloom. it's going to wilt and die, and usually not without some fireworks first. So what I had to, when I started going through these, when my marriage was doing so poorly, I really had to ask myself, is this the marriage I want to be in? And gratefully, yes, it is. And I'm not going to say all day, every day, am I ecstatically in love with my husband. But all day, every day, I love him, and I'm happy that he is the one I am married to. The checklist for tradition 3, do my actions say that I have a desire to be in this relationship? Do I set myself up as a judge of my partner's intentions or sincerity? I love that one. Because my husband can say to me something, and I'll say, you don't mean it. You don't mean that at all. I can tell by your face you don't mean that. You're just saying that because you know I'm mad. You're just saying that because you want to avoid a fight. So now I'm in his head, and I know exactly why he's saying what he's saying. I mean, it's crazy what I do sometimes. Do I judge my partner in anything? Oh, yeah, I have. And I've judged my partner as an AA member. I've judged my partner in his profession. I have not judged my partner, thankfully, in being a father, because luckily these traditions have been in place in my life long enough not to go there, although Friday night I went there just a tad, but I didn't go there with him. I went there in my mind. And I remember being in the midst of this separation with him. And, you know, I cringe now. I want to come out of my skin when I say this, but it may help somebody. I remember thinking, he is like fraudulent in AA. If people only knew how we fight at home and what he says and blah, 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 blah. Well, thank God that, you know, he could have said the same thing about me, you know. Exactly the same thing about me. And every time I judge Al or malign his character to somebody, no matter whether they're in AA or not or in his profession, I'm taking a little something away from our marriage. I am. Do I approach my marriage unselfishly, or do I depend on my mate's language, looks, education, age, appearance, job, or other such things for my own self-esteem? I derived a lot of self-esteem from my husband's position in his workplace. And you know what the funny thing is my husband's position in his workplace has absolutely nothing to do with me, you know. His job could be gone next week, and, you know, if I've got all my eggs in that basket, then where does that leave me? Am I committed to, and do I encourage my mate's spiritual, professional, and individual growth and freedom? And this was a big thing. My husband has he has a couple enthusiastic hobbies, and one of them is biking and road biking, mountain biking, all that. And I remember when he first took it up, I wish I didn't have to stand before you and say this, but, oh well, it helps the cause. Rather than being like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad Al's getting into something that's healthy, and you know, he was trying to lose weight and all this stuff, I was thinking, oh my God, what if he meets somebody who biking along the road that he's going to want to spend the rest of his life with? I mean, I'm a crazy lady. And I used to get really jealous every time he would go to, like, Walnut Creek Park or, you know, somewhere that I wasn't able to go with him, you know, to monitor his actions. And and really, you know, if I love him, I'm going to be really happy that he's getting into something that he enjoys, that's good for him. And I'm going to encourage him to do that, you know. Not put the clause in. So when I read this part of the checklist, I said, oh my God, I think my face turned red. Am I able to share my feelings with my partner? Can I listen to my partner's feelings with an open mind? that's tough to take sometimes. Am I reluctant to work? Well, how do I say this? Basically, am I reluctant to keep my side of the relationship clean? And certainly when I entered this, yes, I was very unwilling to look at where I had gotten the ball rolling in part of our marital discord, because I didn't want it to be my fault. I wanted it to be somebody else's fault. Number four, each of us should be autonomous except in matters affecting the other or our family as a whole. That's pretty self-explanatory. Al and I, it's actually the example I gave you with the biking and that stuff, that falls into this too. I want to encourage my husband's growth. We are free to be who we are. Now, neither of us is going to do something really bombastic if it's going to affect our family. You know, the decision to have children had to be a mutual decision. Otherwise, it wasn't going to work out. I had always wanted kids, and my husband didn't want kids for a very long time, and so we did not have children until he was on board with that. And I really think that Jake came at the time Jake was supposed to get here. If he had come any earlier, who knows what it would be like. But so we are free to be who we need to be. We encourage each other's growth in AA. We encourage each other to have their own relationship with the God of their understanding. It's a bad thing when you try to make your partner your God. And when it comes to our family, we make big decisions together, and we both have to be on board. And the checklist for that. Do I feel like there are only certain ways to do things? Oh, my gosh, yes. And are they my ways? Oh, God. I've got some very good examples about that. And, you know, my God, I don't even know if I'll get through all these. It's kind of funny when you're having to use your own relationship as your material, and I've got so much material that I don't think I'll run out. I always go back to my son because he's been a source of growth for me and Al for the past 2 years. I mean, I didn't realize that I would be challenged to grow in ways that I wasn't even aware of. But what I used to do when our son, well, actually, really the first year of his life, anytime my husband would even so much as change his diaper or feed him or, you know, try to interact with him, because the men don't have a whole lot of interaction with kids when they're brand new. And my husband was trying to fit himself into this equation and in any way he knew how. And it falls right in my lap. I would tell him that the way he was doing things was wrong, and this is the way he needed to do them. And one night he looked at me, he said, "Fine, why don't you just do it all yourself?" And I thought, oh, God. And I had to, you know, I called my sponsor, and she said, "You know what, Allison, you need to allow people to have their own relationships in their own way. And just because you're the expert mom now after 1 year," she said, "you've got to allow other people the right and the dignity to, you know, forge their own relationship with your son." And I really realized that my way wasn't the perfect way or the only way to do things. And I, you know, there's a lot of that I run into at work. I get so keyed into, you know, I've been in the job I'm in now for 12 years, which as an alcoholic, that's shocking. But, you know, I've been there a long time, and so I can really fall into this is the only way to do this job. And my boss will have a suggestion that might save time or, just be more efficient. And I don't outwardly say it, but in my mind I'm thinking, he is so full of it. He's so wrong. I've been doing this job forever. What does he know? You know, I'll just give him lip service. Oh, yeah, right, whatever. And he even said the same thing. And he said, "And I know what you're thinking, Allison." He said, "But you're not the only one who knows how to do everything." Oh! He knows me too well. And you know, I have to really, like, almost talk to myself and think, you know, I can fall into these traps of it's my way or the highway. And everybody in here who belongs to a home group, you can probably think to yourself how many times you've been in your home group meeting thinking, I could do it better. I could run this group better. I know what's better for this group. We need to do it this way, blah, 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 blah. We all do it. It's just that when we do that, we create discord in our groups, in our personal relationships, you name it. All right. Do I carefully avoid injuring my mate emotionally, physically, or spiritually? When I first got sober, I used to hurl liter bottles of Diet Dr. Pepper at my husband. And I don't do that anymore. I don't need to resort to physical aggression when I'm angry. But, you know, I have harmed him emotionally, and I'm assuming spiritually. With some, you know, my tongue can be really quick and cutting when I want it to be. And there's sometimes when something will come flying out, and I think immediately, oh, my God, why did I say that? And you know, you can apologize for it, but the words still resonate. I was having a conversation with a coworker on Friday, and she had gotten in a big hoorah with her husband, and she was telling me about it, and she's very dramatic and flamboyant. I love talking to her because she's not one of us, but I almost wish she was. You know, she's very colorful. And then she got really, really serious, and she said, but you know what? She said, that's the maddest I've ever been at him, and even though he apologized, a little piece of me went away that night. And I think, you know, I've said stuff like that to my husband, and he's not going to come to me and say, well, a little piece of me left that night, Allison. But, you know, you can't always take everything back that you say, and so choose your words carefully. How do I deal with my partner's anger regarding something I've done through my autonomy? Am I defensive? Do I try to subdue him or her with still greater anger? Do I point out previous mistakes they have made? Do I try to punish him or her in any way? Well, I fall, you know, I'm guilty of all of that. I can bring up something that my husband did. We've been married since 1994, so 16 years. You know, I've got a lot of material to work with. And we do have one of the, I hate to use the word rule, but one of the things we have agreed to do is the past is the past, and if we're angry at each other, we don't say, well, you know, 10 years ago when you pulled this CRAP, you know, blah, 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 blah. All that does is bring up old wounds, and it's not helping to solve what's going on right now. So I try to leave the past in the past, and who we were is who we were, and hopefully we aren't those same people, and we're, you know, we're striving to grow along spiritual lines, and we're moving forward. And when I dredge up the past, I'm moving us backwards. I'm moving us both backwards. Except today my husband doesn't want to go backwards, and he said, you can go there, but I'm not going there with you. So good for him. Five, will you let me know when I'm running out of time? A relationship has but one primary purpose, to love each other and to serve as an expression of God's love. And you know, it's funny, because with regard to our AA groups, oh gosh, thank you. Tradition 5 is my favorite tradition, and with regard to traditions and relationships, this is my favorite tradition. And what I want to say also, and I should have said it in the beginning, traditions are like the steps. I have never done the steps perfectly. I try to do them to the best of my ability, and that's how I try to practice these traditions in my home and in my other relationships. You know, some days I fall very short. Other days it seems like not a cloud in the sky. But I love this tradition because that's really the ultimate thing, you know, for us to love one another and serve as an expression of God's love. Standing before you, that is the reason I'm in my marriage. I love my husband. I want to be with him. He is the one that I want to raise children with, grow old with, hopefully retire one day before we're 90. The checklist for Tradition 5, do we have a primary purpose, and do we know what it is? You know, if you don't talk about it, then chances are you either don't have one or you don't know what it is. Do I resort to emotional blackmail? That used to be my favorite weapon. Do I ever start sentences with the phrase, if you loved me, you would? I used to start almost every sentence with that. You know, if I'm asking for something that I really want, if you really love me, you'd let me do this. If you really love me, and really that's just my way of making you feel bad so I can get what I want in the end. Do I demand precise equality? And if so, do I monitor my share as closely as I monitor my mate's? Do I really understand that my troubles are of my own making? And, you know, that's hard when you're in relationships with people. When something goes awry, I automatically want to point the finger. And you know, vice versa. Sometimes it gets pointed at me. Well, if you had been to a meeting today, this wouldn't be happening tonight. You know, we all resort to those tactics sometimes. Do I really understand that I have a part in everything and that whenever I am upset, there is something wrong with me? That's a tough pill to swallow, but I do get that a lot more than I used to get that. Do we express God's love in our relationship, and do we share it with others? How am I told you I didn't bring up my glasses. Now it's embarrassing. Am I a patient and uncritical listener? Ooh, I'm much better at that with women I sponsor than in my marriage. Sometimes, you know, I have to listen to stuff that hits close to home with my husband, and I can feel myself getting squirmy in the seat, you know, and I just want to get up and bolt out of the room because I don't like what I'm hearing. I've grown in this area. There's still plenty of room to grow. Can I see my partner through God's eyes or hear my partner through God's ears? And what my sponsor says to me about that is, can I hear God talking as I'm screaming at my husband? You know, if I'm, number one, I probably ought not be screaming at my husband. She has this great example of when she and her husband, I guess, were in the middle of some big brouhaha, and he did what so many alcoholics do. He left her a really nasty voicemail. And she came home. She was walking in the house listening to the voicemail like, oh, my gosh, you know, I've done this to my husband before. And she played the voicemail back for him. And she said, I just want you to know what you sounded like, you know, an hour ago. And I also want to know when it became okay to talk to me like that. And he was just like, I'm just really grateful. He'll never say to any of mine. He actually has told me that when I'm angry and leave him voicemails, he hits the delete button before listening to them because he knows they're crazy. So, all right. 6, we ought never single-handedly endorse, finance, or lend our name to any outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our commitment to each other. That's pretty self-explanatory. I'll give one quick example. We've got an AA sitter. She watches our son when we're at meetings, and she's a young gal, 20 years old. She's living on her own, and, you know, anyway, she had to go to the emergency room, and she has, like, all these part-time jobs, and I don't quite frankly know how she makes ends meet. Well, she has a roommate, but anyway, she had to go to the emergency room. And so Al and I had decided, we knew she didn't have any insurance, and she's never asked us for anything. She's been working for us for 2 years, and we decided as a unit to give her some money. Now, you know, we talked about it, because there's a certain sum that if we're going to spend, we have to talk to each other about, and Had I just gone and made that decision and written her a check and told him later, he would have hit the roof. But I've got enough respect for our relationship now to talk to him about it to make sure that giving that money wasn't going to take away from our family. We don't speak for each other. You know, that you get into a really hairy situation when you do speak for your mate. I found that out because I've done it. So really, we are autonomous, yet we are a unit, and we don't do anything that would affect our family as a whole or take from our family. The checklist for that: do I encourage and support my partner? What is motivating me when I try to be all things to my partner? And what they're talking about there is, you know, in some relationships, some people try to do everything for their partner, and their partner never learns how to do anything for themselves. And that's kind of the rut that Ale and I used to be in. Do I allow my partner the dignity to fail? And, you know, that sounds pretty simple, but if I think that my husband's going to fail, I kind of want to dive in and save the day so I'll look good. I mean, it's weird. I mean, it's interesting what motivates us, but the better thing to do would be to let my partner fail at something so he can learn and grow. Do I pretend to agree with my partner just to keep things going? I used to do that a lot. I didn't like conflict. I still don't. And I would not state my true beliefs or opinions or values because I was so afraid of conflict. And I was afraid that if you didn't like me or if you didn't agree with me, that meant you didn't like me. I realized people can still like and love me today even if we don't have the same opinions on everything. Do I take responsibility for my own spiritual, emotional, and physical needs? It's pretty self-explanatory. It's up to me to take care of myself. Nobody can do it for me. Am I in this relationship just to feel needed or loved? I've been in relationships just for that sole purpose before. When I was drinking, I was somebody I could not be alone. I just couldn't. It was unthinkable to me. And I would attach myself like a tick to people and drain them dry and fall off and go on to the next one. Not really a good reason to be in a relationship. 7. Each of us ought to strive to be fully self-supporting spiritually, emotionally, physically, and I'm going to add monetarily, except, you know, there are relationships where, you know, some people are stay-at-home moms, and while the other person is working, I think a stay-at-home mom ought to be paid, quite frankly, now that I am fully aware of the work involved. I was not self-supporting in any way, shape, or form when Ale and I started our relationship. And that's not so bad in itself, but I didn't have the desire to be. That's where the rub was. It wasn't, you know, I was new in the county we lived in. I hadn't had a job yet. I was newly sober. There's a lot of stuff going on. But it was very apparent to my husband after about, I would say, 2 months, that not only was I not self-supporting in any area of my life, I was very unwilling to do so. I thought if Ale took the steps, I would just sort of watch what happened to him and sort of by osmosis get that myself. If he had a relationship with the God of his understanding, I just ask him questions about it so I could share about it in meetings and kind of take it as my own. I definitely did not contribute to the family emotionally, monetarily, spiritually. I was a real taker, and I would have told you that I wasn't, but I was. I was running up like $300 and $500 phone bills with no way to pay them. I didn't have a job, so there was no paycheck in sight. And it didn't bother me that Ale had a lot of financial amends to make too. He couldn't take on my own, you know. I sort of thought that he should. And was really indignant when he got me a job. He did. He was so tired of me spending money that we did not have. That actually my neighbor, our next door neighbor, was looking for a babysitter and somebody to clean her house, and my husband told her I would do it, and I couldn't believe it. I didn't talk to him for a week when he came home and told me that. And he's like, well, you know, you got to do something here. And I thought, well, my presence here should be enough. And I really did. I really thought that. And, you know, that wasn't good for Al, but it also wasn't good for me. I needed to learn how to take care of myself. I needed to learn how to be a contributing partner, not just financially, but emotionally and spiritually, too. I was robbing our household of everything. But I also... The finances were a big thing because I took a lot of money from my husband, and I've since paid it back. But I understand the value, you know, of a good day's work now. I didn't before. I need to be able to support myself with or without my husband. And I never got that until we went through some marital discord. And you know, I could, my gosh, Al could drop dead of a heart attack tonight. And if I don't know how to take care of myself spiritually, financially, emotionally, physically, I'm really in trouble, you know, more so than what I think. And so what this tradition means in so many ways is I've got to learn how to be okay on my own and then also learn how to take that into the relationships that I'm in, you know. The checklist for that is, do I attempt to assume control of my partner and our relationship, meaning that they don't get the chance to grow on their own? Do my needs for comfort or a feeling of safety limit my partner's options? Do I accept responsibility for myself? Can I admit to my innermost self that my problems are of my own making? That keeps coming up, doesn't it? Do I try to manage and control the purse strings? Am I managed and controlled by the purse strings? Do I think that because something is good for me personally, that it is also good for my mate? I definitely fell into that category. Do I deceive myself by thinking how unselfish and giving I am when in reality I am giving only when I can do it on my own terms? Can I remember that giving is a position of control and that receiving is a position of powerlessness? Do I take responsibility for my own physical needs, health, diet, exercise? Can I point to at least one thing right now that determines the degree of healthy independence I have? All right, so 8. Our relationship should remain forever an unprofessional, free, and giving relationship, each to the other. Goodness gracious. Okay, I'm going to go really fast now. I think that kind of speaks for itself. I'm just going to run through the checklist here. Do these traditions accurately describe my behavior? If not, what needs changing? Do I try to sound like an expert on things? Definitely I have. I will say, I shared this in my home group the other night. When I was 9 years sober, this person took me through the book that I really highly respected. And after I went through all the steps with this person, I remember telling my husband that if he wanted to look at my notes, he could, and that he might want some pointers when he takes men through the steps. That went over like a lead balloon in our house, believe me. Do I believe that one or the other partner should be in charge based on their gender? That's interesting. Or experience, or education, or job, or anything. Al and I need to be equal, regardless of degrees, job title, whatever. Do I make an effort to understand my partner's opinions and views? Do I really listen to my mate and show respect for those opinions and views? Does my identity and feelings of self-worth depend upon my relationship with my mate? For me, for the first 8 years of my life, it definitely did. Who or what was my role model for a healthy relationship? Can I give for fun and for free? requiring nothing in return. I'm getting much better at that. Do I change my mate? Do I charge? This is why I need my glasses. Do I charge my mate a fee for being in a relationship with me? And that fee can be very emotional. It doesn't have to be money. If so, what is it? How expensive is my love and companionship? There definitely used to be a price for being married to me. There was. Do I take hostages in my relationship? Do I feel that my mate belongs to me? Oh my gosh, I used to. If anybody talked to my husband, they were going to feel my wrath. Do I really understand that I will reap what I sow? That what goes around comes around? And it certainly did for me. I'm glad I did these traditions when I did, because I can say based on my own experience, I did reap what I sowed. 9, our relationship ought never be organized or under the control of only one partner. That is very self-explanatory. You know, I will say that in our marriage today, you know, sometimes I'm more on the ball than Al is. Sometimes Al's more on the ball than me. Sometimes we're both so on the ball at the same time we don't know what to do. But there is nobody that runs the relationship. It's not like I view him as my supervisor, and, you know, if I'm going to be home 5 minutes after 9 tonight, I'm going to be, you know, called out on, you're not home at 9? I broke curfew. You know, it's crazy. We have a trusting relationship. The checklist for that is, do I try to be the boss? I'm more the other way. I tend to be the person who wants somebody to be the boss, but then I yell at you when you don't do what I want. Am I mature enough to understand and use the principles of AA in my relationships, even if no one makes me do so, with a sense of personal responsibility? Do I exercise patience and humility in the things I do in my relationship? Do I assume responsibility, or do I try to take on authority? Have I learned how and when to step aside gracefully when I begin to overstep my bounds? I will say that I have made progress in that arena. Who decides who does what in the day-to-day business of a relationship? Am I a peace at any price person? Doesn't this get to be expensive at times? Yeah, it does. When you start sacrificing your values and beliefs, like I talked about in the previous tradition, it does get to be expensive, because you start realizing that you're just going along just for the sake of going along. And Alan and I, you know, we don't have any issue with expressing our opinions and views. What we have had to sort of tailor is how we do it. If you're married to somebody or with somebody who's also in AA, it gets really funny. You can walk through the room when they're talking to a sponsee or their sponsor, and all of a sudden start telling them what they did or didn't say, and that gets a little sticky. And we've had that issue in our house. And so, you know what, we try not to overstep our bounds. You know, Al sponsors who he sponsors. He has his own relationship with his sponsor. I have my own relationship with my sponsor, and he doesn't tell me what to do with the women I work with. 10, we each are entitled to our own opinion on outside issues. Hence, our name ought never be drawn into public controversy. And, you know, that just falls under political views, whatever. I'm not going to get into all of that right now, but we each have our own opinion. We're entitled to our own opinion, even with regard to AA. We don't agree on every single thing perfectly in AA. We both have our own views, and we're entitled to our own views, and we respect that with one another. The checklist. Do I give the impression that we have an opinion and I am its keeper? Some of these are embarrassing, really. Am I careful to keep confidences given to me by my partner? I really needed some growth in that arena. I was the first person to blah, 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 guess what, blah, blah, blah. And Al would get so mad at me. He'd say, you know, I told you that in confidence. I thought that was between me and you. And I remember him asking me, is nothing sacred in our marriage? If my relationship with my partner were not guided by this tradition, what would it be like? Where would I be? Am I publicly critical of my mate? If so, what evidence can I offer to substantiate that I have sound judgment? Am I not a member of a recovery program? What would my mate say if asked whether or not I loved her or him? Does either of us have emotional... I'm not going to get into that one. That's a little too funky for me. How important is it for me to be right? Would I rather be right than happy? Do I expect or need my partner to see and feel the same as me on issues? Can I let my partner disagree with my ideas without feeling rejected and without getting defensive? It took me a while to grow in that arena because I told you I thought if somebody disagreed with me, it meant they didn't like me. We try to disagree without being disagreeable. Some stuff we just have to say, okay, let's just not discuss this because we're going to get too irritated with each other. 11. We individually convey our beliefs and philosophy through attraction rather than promotion. We are each in charge of our own anonymity. What this tradition was described to me as being is, how do I say this the way I want to say it? When Ayla and I are together, are we a good example of a marriage, or do people look at us and say, thank God I'm not married? You know, I don't go around promoting Ayla as a person or our marriage. It's like the same with AA. I let AA's results speak for itself in my marriage. I just let what's gone on in our marriage speak for itself. And if people want to know what happened and how we got from point A to point B, I'm happy to discuss everything with them. But a lot of times it's like the saying, your actions speak so loudly, I can't hear what you say. So after I went through these traditions and did amends and stuff with Ale, I just kind of zipped it for a while. And, you know, there was a lot of gossip about us at work. I don't know about AA, but, you know, I made very public my unhappiness with my partner, and that was my fault. There was a period when we were doing a bunch of stuff to try to mend things that I just needed to zip it and just, you know, go along about my business in a quiet and dignified way. And that's what I tried to do today. I will say I fall short sometimes. Checklist. Is my relationship treated with care in public? Do I think my relationship is attractive to others, or does it appear shabby? Is my partner ever embarrassed or humiliated by my actions? Do I give relationships a bad name? Am I guilty of promotion rather than attraction? Can I go about my affairs without giving my partner advice on how he or she should conduct theirs? Can I do good things for my relationship anonymously? Do I do good things for my relationship anonymously? Can I give my partner the right to be wrong? Getting much better at that. Can I give my partner the right to be right? How do I feel when my partner criticizes the way I am trying to live my recovery program? Now, that has come up in our house, and it's funny. My husband has very, very passionate views about certain things in AA, and I do also. And I will say, on some things, there's one issue in particular that we have decided just will not be a topic of conversation in the Jacobson household. Because the last time it was, we didn't speak for a little while. And so, as long as the person I am with is trying to grow along spiritual lines, why do I have to nitpick every little view and make sure it agrees with mine and vice versa? You know, we decided that that just makes for bad feelings. Which do I give more of to my partner? Positive or negative zingers? What happens when one partner in a relationship is getting noticeably better and the other is not? That happened in ours, and I pretty much spent an hour telling you what happened. All right, the last one, yay! Anonymity or selflessness is a spiritual foundation of all of our way of life, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And what we take that to mean in our marriage is that we are both trying each day to grow in effectiveness and understanding. We are trying to have a relationship with a God of our understanding. Not, we don't share a God, but we both forge that relationship on our own. And, you know, we try to treat each other decently. We try to do what AA has taught us. We try to combine these traditions and steps and, you know, spiritual principles and, you know, create a family out of it. The checklist for this is actually pretty short. What would I, what would I like an article in the LA Times to say about the way I treat my husband or wife? How should a good mate act toward their partner? How should one talk about their mate and their relationship? Is the way I treat my mate likely to improve or enrich our relationship or make it worse? Those are things I ask myself. You know, it's pretty basic. You get what you give. And I find that when I act like a loving, kind wife, not that I'm perfect at it, that's what I get in return from my husband. So thanks for listening. I'm sorry I went a little bit over. Thanks for having me.